Passion History of Our Lord from St. Mark, chapter 14. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away." As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus answered and said to him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then they all forsook him and fled. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young men laid a hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Thanks be to God. For our meditation, we will focus on these words. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." 2 months ago, we asked, "What child is this?" The child sleeping in Mary's lap was Jesus, the Son of God. The shepherds worshiped him. The wise men brought him gifts. This was no ordinary child. This is Christ the King," we sang. Tonight, we might ask, "What man is this?" Jesus, the Son of God, is deeply distressed, even unto death. In this lowly form, he doesn't look like God any more than when he was a little baby. He prays that God the Father might take away his cup of suffering. He asks his disciples to watch and pray, but they fall asleep. From the other evangelists, we know that angels came and ministered to Jesus, that his sweat became like drops of blood. What man is this? At Christmas we sang, "He whom the sea and wind obey doth come to serve the sinner in great meekness." And now we ask, "O dearest Jesus, what law hast thou broken?" To see God himself suffering like this turns the whole world upside down. This thing can only happen because God loves us. He loves us to the point of becoming us, becoming man, just like us, except for sin. He becomes man, he becomes human in order to pay the punishment for our crimes, in order to rescue us from eternal death and give us eternal life instead. What man is this? This is indeed Christ the King, but in meekness and humility. He prays for us. He suffers for us. He dies for us. Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. Jesus is here in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means oil press. It's where olives were crushed to make olive oil. Here Jesus is crushed for us, but also crushes the head of Satan, that serpent of old, so that Jesus' blood, the blood of God's own Son, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus had to be human in order to be our substitute. We see this in his sorrow. He had to be human and suffer. We see it in his sweat. We see it in his torment. Jesus even takes on a human soul to be perfectly man, to be perfectly human, so he is completely our substitute before God. Jesus says, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." He asks Peter, James, and John to watch and pray because he is troubled and deeply distressed. This is not some unfeeling or whimsical God of the Greeks or the Romans who might make himself look like a human being. No, this is the true God himself who becomes a human being, becomes incarnate, made flesh just like us, so that his suffering is real and covers the sins of all mankind. Maybe we know what it's like to suffer a little bit for another person. When we see a friend or a family member going through a difficult time or a difficult disease, but Jesus actually takes on that pain and that suffering and that divine punishment for our sins. Maybe it seems that today we aren't thinking about God as much as we should, or maybe we aren't afraid of God as much as maybe we should be. Maybe we take our sins a little too lightly because the whole world lives this way. The whole world tells us that our thoughts and actions and words are no big deal. We can do whatever we want. But God says, "You shall not do certain things." And yet we are weak and do them again and again. God says, "Do not lie." But we lie. We cheat. We hate. We lust, we covet, we steal, we disobey and disrespect. Too often we say to God, "Not your will, but my will. Do things my way. Let me do what I want, God. If you love me, you'll let me do it." Jesus prays the opposite. "Not what I will, but what you will." We deserve to die because of our disobedience. But Jesus willingly dies in our place. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. What man is this? It is Christ our Savior, who bore the cross for me and for you. These are the things we confess and proclaim every Sunday. And they are the heart of our Christian faith, the heart of God's holy teaching in the scripture, that he is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, and that he was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and he was buried. These words are not just some religious exercise, some mantra to draw us into personal meditation and thinking about ourselves. These words are truth and life-giving. Crucified, died, and was buried, descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. Because of this, we too shall rise to eternal life and sit with him in the glory of heaven. But first he drinks, the bitter cup of suffering. And so now, as we meditate on Jesus' passion, his suffering for our sins, we may learn to know and love him even more, so that he may be our Savior, our rescue, our deliverance from ourselves and from the devil and from the world around us. We watch and we pray, and sometimes we sleep. But God wakes us with his glorious gospel. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. You shall not die. Christ, the life of all the living. Christ, the death of death, our foe, who thyself for me once giving to the darkest depths of woe, through thy sufferings, death, and merit, I eternal life inherit. Thousand thanks shall be, dearest Jesus, unto thee. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.